The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And now it's time for the talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello, good morning to you. 3 minutes, just turning 4 minutes past nine on this Friday, the 28th of July, 2023. We're into the last show of the week here of the 9 till noon show. I do hope you're very well indeed. And hopefully you'll stick around for the next 3 hours as we've an interesting lineup as always. We have our Friday panel, which will get the show underway. I'll introduce them after I invite you to take part by WhatsApps and texts. 086 60 25000, 086 60 25000. From outside the Republic, 00 35386 60 25000. If you want to give us a call, it's 07491 25000. Your emails to comments at highlandradio.com. And to remind you, you can watch the programme as well. It's on our YouTube channel, Highland Radio Ireland. You can watch that across all of your devices, including your smart TV and your Fire Stick. And on our Facebook pages as well, Highland Hub, Highland Radio News and Sports. So really, there's absolutely no excuses not to be involved. Okay, let's introduce our panel then. Doreen Sheridan Kennedy, retired deputy school principal and a community campaigner. Good morning, Doreen.
Morning, Greg. How
great
are you
to see you. How are you keeping? We have in studio with us Claudia Kennedy, which makes my life a little bit more complicated. But anyway, Claudia Kennedy, who is a teacher and Fianna Fáil deputy chair of Fianna Fáil CDC. Good morning to you, Claudia.
Good morning, Greg. It's great to be here.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us. And back over to our remote guest, Michael White, who is chair of the Green Party in Donegal. Hiya, Michael.
Good morning, Greg. Imagine White.
Good to have you with us, Imagine White. We'll start with you. Perhaps because a review on expansion of the railway network across the island of Ireland has recommended widespread changes, including increasing top train speeds and reviewing abandoned lines. The All-Ireland Rail Review, published last Tuesday, recommended reinstating the Western Rail Corridor between Claremorris and Athenry and the South Wexford Railway. It also recommended extending the railway into County Tyrone, running from Portadown to Dungannon, Omagh, Strabane and Derry, and on to Letterkenny in Donegal, of course. Well, Leo Varadkar said this review strengthens the argument for more investment in roads, but the chairwoman of the Greens on this programme says he's out of touch, or at least agreed. There is also a glaring gap between Sligo and Letterkenny. All that being said, is it positive? And I suppose, too, the question is, Michael, in our lifetime at least, will it be delivered?
Well, I think it's brilliant, actually. It's really positive. Back in 2021, we organised a meeting with Eamon Ryan and Into the West. That's a rail lobby group. I think you were speaking to them last week.
Yeah.
Greg. It's really good. This strategic rail review is pretty serious. So the Department of Finance would have been involved in the costings and estimates, as was the European Investment Bank. So it comes from being a kind of aspirational stuff to now with much more detail. And the fact that they went and reviewed loads of potential routes, and the fact that the Letterkenny route is still in here after that review is brilliant, because a bunch of them have been marked as parked, where they've excluded a certain number of routes as being not feasible in the next 20 years. The fact that the Letterkenny spur is still in there and that the Derry-Tyrone-Dungannon line is in there is brilliant. And they're in sort of the medium-term set. So that's, I think it's already encouraging. I know there's some complaints about, there's nothing in there about a connection from, say, Letterkenny to Donegal Town and on to Sligo. That was evaluated. And they've called it parked. They haven't said it's never going to happen, but they're just saying in the 20-year projection, they don't think it'll be economically viable to reopen that route.
Yes, but that's the problem we face in the Northwest. Everything's not economically viable, but it is the right thing to do. I mean, maybe if you build they will come, because the economical viability angle was what the head of Inra Darren, I think it was at the time, said about 20 years ago.
Yeah, but the other things they do say, so if we get the Letterkenny routes earmarked for the 2030s, like about starting, well, the work should start in the next government, and then it would be up and running in the mid-2030s. If that happens, it'll make the case for the further connection. Like, certainly the Greens aren't saying we're going to give up, we're not going to have a Donegal town to Letterkenny connection. That's something we want to do. This makes that much more likely to happen now in the future. But getting the Letterkenny connection, getting a connection back to the county, and then having that route from Letterkenny, Derry, down through to Dungannon and on to Dublin, that then becomes a really, really feasible piece of infrastructure. It's easier to deliver that in some way than it is to deliver a motorway, because a lot of the infrastructure is already in place. It was never ripped up. So I think it's really positive, and it's much more real now than it has ever been in the past.
Would you agree, Doreen?
I think it's a good news story. Good morning, Michael. Good morning, Claudia. And I admire the ambition that's there. I suppose in my lifetime, I may not see it, but I do also understand where the Leo, as part of the government team, Leo Varadkar, is coming in, because he does see that there's freight and there's passengers, you know, and he does see that, you know, economics are going to change, populations are going to change over the next 20 years. So therefore, what he's saying in relation to it all is that we still need to have money going into our road networks, you know, and we in Letterkenny more than ever know exactly what that's about. And so I think we have to work hand in hand. I think it's very ambitious, and I think we are lucky that Letterkenny is going to be tied in with Strabane with a view to travelling to Dublin or travelling up to Derry and on to Belfast. I think it's wonderful news, but if it's going to take as long as it's taken us in Letterkenny and Donegal to get the Bonnygee link as it is going to take us to get the actual this train up and running, I will just hold my breath, because I am very concerned where the road networks are going, and there's a lot of questions need to be answered there. But overall, I think it's very positive and very good, and it's very ambitious. And I think we have to look at it, because we do have to get maybe, when you do look at the routes that they're going to make faster, I was looking at that last night, you're into Galway, you're into Cork, big deal. You know, we live in Donegal, so we need Donegal, and we need people from Sligo to Letterkenny to be pushing to make sure that route in the future is included as well. I think it's wonderful to think that the trains would be back, you know, because...
But do you really feel it's going to happen, Doreen? I mean, if it was serious, would they not have prioritised the North West? Is it not about time we got a priority?
No, I do think it will happen, but probably in your lifetime, Greg.
But I don't think it will.
Yeah, you're a lot younger than I would be, so therefore I do see it as more possible. But I would like to think now, Michael seems to push it out there to 2030. I thought we were talking about 2025 here, you know, maybe having it up and started.
Well, Michael's gone a little bit further than Pauline O'Reilly, because she said she wasn't able to timeline it at all.
Yeah, and yes, I think that's the question. Sorry, Michael, go ahead.
Yeah, well, in the strategic rail review, they talk about immediate term. And the reason Pauline may not have been sure there, that the document itself is 118 pages long. So it's some of this is buried in the detail towards the end on the delivery part of the document.
And in fairness, it was around about Tuesday that we did come to that. Right, let's get some reaction from Claudia Kennedy.
Yes.
Maybe you've the best chance. Well, you might have the best chance of ever going on a train from Letterkenny to Strabane, if the truth be told, but anyway.
It's a very ambitious project, and it shows a cohesion within the government that they could sit down on Tuesday and look at this document and say this is something we can work on towards the future. In terms of South Donegal, I think it's absolutely disgraceful that we've no connection coming from Sligo through Bundoran, up through the Gap and then into Letterkenny. And Minister Eamon Ryan, in all of his press releases this week, has extensively and consistently spoken about Donegal and regional balance and the Northwest, and this was his aim and his goal. So in every press release this week, he has spoken about that. And yet, when you look at the map, you have a glaring omission, obviously from the lack of that link from Sligo linking up into Letterkenny. And also just to say, it's a very cohesive document. It's very detailed. There's 30 recommendations. It's looking over a 25 to 30 year period. Over 35 billion layout in terms of budget. Obviously, that's going to increase with inflation as well. So being realistic, I would like to see the government prioritising Donegal. Eamon Ryan has spoken extensively about Donegal regional balance as in this rail review being a priority for him. Let's see it now being put into action. I would like to see Donegal being one of the first projects, that first link happening through Letterkenny into Derry. I'd like to actually see that happening. And furthermore, for the other projects, we need a timeline, we need a budget, and we also need to look at the fiscal space from the European Union, what they're going to help us with.
Yeah,
also.
Of course, but the problem is, obviously the government has a better chance of delivering this, but this is like me effectively saying I want to build a monorail to the moon. Like, it's ambitious, isn't it?
It's
about delivering it.
It's more than that.
I am conceding that the government possibly can deliver this, okay? And I'm being a little facetious, which is a little bit out of character for me. But what I'm saying is, the kind of information you're talking of, Claudia, is the important information. You know, maybe more firm term timelines. You know,
Absolutely.
maybe Because this is aspirational, isn't it?
Yeah, we have to be practical and realistic, and we have a budget. We don't know what way the economy is going to go in terms of the future. So I would like to see it being prioritised, a timeline, Donegal being prioritised. That if Minister Eamon Ryan, in every press release he's done this week in interview, has spoken about regional balance, looking at developing the economy of the Northwest, particularly speaking about Donegal, then we need to see action on that. In terms of our roads infrastructure, in fairness, he spoke with RTE News in Carlow this week, and he spoke about his commitment as a Minister for Transport in delivering specifically on bypasses to take out that traffic and congestion from our towns and cities. And of course, our Taoiseach has spoke about the importance of our road network as well in terms of industry.
They are still at odds in relation to that, really, but we'll come back to that. Like a caller says during the week, Michael, and you can't help but think he may be right, that if the inevitable downturn in an economy happens, or if this is, if this is slowed down, it'll be the Northwest that ends up being put on the back burner. Do you know what I mean? Because it's nice to think of putting a railway into Letterkenny, but if your money's getting tight and you want to continue with this, you do the big, the big projects that will, that will benefit more people. So if
I disagree. So there's a prevalence sometimes of, oh, we're going to be last and we won't get it. That's not true. If you look at something like ATU getting university status, good things can happen here. That was the result of 10 years of efforts by LYIT and the other ITs to get university status. We can get things in the Northwest. To get it, we'll require public pressure and political support. So that means like Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael and Donegal also need to get their act together, and Sinn Féin. The Green Party have led this report. This plan wouldn't have happened without the Green Party. For this to happen now and get delivered in Donegal, we need all the parties and all the representatives in this county and in the general Northwest to focus on delivery.
Do you think it was unfortunate that, given the fact that this was such a significant announcement, the focus being on rail and tying in bus services to rail and trying to think of things in a different way, and a really positive news story to decarbonise an alternative to roads and traffic, that it was actually the leader of the government that sort of, confused the message then, saying, we're talking about roundabouts, and not roundabouts, but bypasses, but it were he that really says, rail's good, but we need roads. And of all the commentary I heard in it, I thought that was the most detracting from this announcement on Tuesday. What do you think, Michael?
I think it's a bit off message. So the only thing I'd say is that Leo's talking to his backbenchers when he's talking that way. And actually, it's a concern. Fianna Fáil and everybody in Donegal would be concerned. We want to see the A5 delivered. People want to see the 10T project going ahead. So that's a concern. And that's he's talking to that audience. I think it was off message, and it shows poor judgment on his part. But he's shown poor judgment this year.
But he wasn't talking necessarily about planned.
There's one other thing I'd want to highlight, kind of related to this project. One of the significant parts of this delivery is the Derry down through Dungannon route. So over the projected expenditure overall is 36 billion over 10 to 20 years. 27 of that would come from the Republic, and about 7 or 9 would come from the North. The biggest problem here, one of the big problems here will be the delivery of infrastructure projects in the west of Northern Ireland. And we know from the problems with the A5, that's a real risk. Also, we know the way McGee College has been treated in Derry. There's a real issue with major projects being delivered in Northern Ireland on the west.
So Doreen, Leo Varadkar, off message and playing to his backbenchers. It's not really...
Well, that is Michael's version of it, and you seem to be a bit pessimistic about the whole story, but...
Don't worry about me. Respond to Michael there.
Yeah, well, Michael, I think you're a party in government with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, and I think it is very wrong of you to be so critical and to tell us to get our act together. I actually think we've worked well as a government, and I don't think what Leo has said has distracted from what has gone on. I do think he's being realistic. He was Minister of Transport at a stage prior to being leader of the Fine Gael party, and he knows what he's talking about. And I think what he has said is based on facts and statistics. He talks about 3% going up to 6% in relation to population footfall going on the trains. He's talking about maybe 10% of freight. So I think you've been very critical and very out of place as regards the Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael party getting their act together in relation to all of this.
But one of the biggest conversations at the moment, Doreen, is you know, about the climate crisis. They're saying now it's not global warming, it's global boiling. You know, the ongoing debate about whether or not, you know, we should be doing our bit, and what about the Chinese and the Americans, and, you know, people trying to keep people on message. And then you've got the leader of the government effectively saying, well, you know, most of it really will still be using roads and all that type of stuff. I mean,
He is leading the government at the moment, and he knows what he's talking about. I'm not going to sit here and take that from the Green Party. And I mean, some people think that this plan is actually way off the wall. I personally don't. I think it's very ambitious, and I think it's very good. And I think as a government, or any government in the future, will be able to keep it in sight. But meanwhile, I think, as Claudia has referred to, we have a lot of funding going into our roads, but we still need to continue at a pace that is suitable to the present day and age. Our roads in Donegal still need lots of maybe better time scales to be delivered, because I'm looking back in Letterkenny maybe 60 years ago when a certain councillor said, let's have a bridge over the Swilly. We're still waiting on it. That's the practicalities of it for the people who are in Letterkenny town and who are busy on the Lake Road, on the Ran Road, coming in from the mountaintop or whatever, coming in from the west. We need...
Of course we do. Of course we do. But Claudia, do you not think that to some extent, and I'll not labour this, but just to get your view on it because you haven't said it, that Leo Varadkar did kind of throw this big rail review news story under the bus a little bit?
I don't think so. I think he was being pragmatic, and I think he was being realistic. And he probably, to a certain extent, was talking to his own party and his own members. And we're all very aware of climate change and global boiling, and we've seen the devastation that's been caused in Greece and Italy over the past couple of weeks. I think, from my point of view, it's really important that it's realistic. Let's start with the small projects. Let's start with the Western Rail Corridor. That would be very manageable and very achievable in terms of funding. And then look at what we can do in terms of Donegal in terms of achieving that rail network. And I think once people see projects starting, happening, being funded to completion, I think that will give people some faith. But I think we need to be prudent and practical with this as well. That's really, really important. In terms of, you know, Michael's comments, we have been coalition partners through some very tough times, most notably COVID. We've got through that successfully. We've now have a war in Ukraine. We've got through that successfully, taking in over 90,000 refugees. We're now in an inflation and cost of living crisis. And our three partners in government have really cohesively came together really tough times. And that has to be commended.
Okay, they've come all together. There's an awful lot of people that feel they haven't dealt with any of the issues you mentioned very well at all. I mean, they might have done it in a cohesive fashion, but there's a fair deal of criticism as to how they've dealt with them.
Well, I mean, we can look across the water into the UK and see how they handle COVID and what's happening at the moment now when they're going through a number of tribunals and looking at what's happening over there.
A lot
there.
Of people would like those tribunals over here as well, so we actually could get to the bottom of how we dealt with certain things and to make sure we do it better if there is a better way to do it into the future. So finally, if you don't mind me saying, and I'm not saying this... Michael, as a presenter of a programme, I'm saying it as a member of the public here, I am confused now what the plan is between Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil and the Greens. Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil seem to be on the same page. The future is in roads as well as rail. And it's just completely confused the message that was being delivered to me on Tuesday. And I mean that in absolute earnest. I'm not in any way trying to... We've gone from so rail's the future to, well, actually, really, rail is going to complement our road network. That's what I got from Leo Varadkar.
But the consistency is from the programme from government. We switched a 2-to-1 ratio of, we still spend on roads. In fact, more has been spent by this government on roads than any previous government. But the agreement was 2-to-1, that for every euro we spent on roads, 2 euro had to be spent on either public transport or active travel infrastructure. That's consistent. That's still happening. This rail review is saying there's going to be a massive investment in rail. That will be backed by the European Union. But we're also saying that there's a load of road infrastructure still needed to connect the Northwest and other areas of the country. So that's going to continue as well. So I don't think there's mixed messages. I think we're saying there's a 2-to-1 spend. For the first time, though, there's been no investment in rail infrastructure really in Ireland for the last 40 or 50 years. And in terms of the three parties, I take Doreen's point, all three parties have agreed. I mean, this is agreed at Cabinet on Tuesday. So regardless of my, you know, sometimes scepticism about Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil, sometimes both parties have rode in behind this and are agreeing to deliver it. So there is consistency, 2-to-1 ratio of spend, massive increase in expenditure on rail, and all three parties have agreed to this.
It was a packed house this week at an Effective Blocks scheme information evening. It was said at that meeting that if Dara O'Brien, the Minister for Housing, is genuine and cares about homeowners like he says he does, we want him in Donegal. That's a quote. In this room and to explain how this scheme is going to work, as we just cannot see how it's going to work. Should the minister accept that invite, Claudia? It's quite remarkable to announce a multi-billion euro scheme, claim that it's 100% redress and not come up to Donegal to sort of celebrate it, say, I am here with this scheme, everybody. This is how it's going to work for you all. Do you think the minister should respond to that call and go up?
I do. I do believe that Minister Dara O'Brien should visit Donegal. He should talk with the Mica homeowners. He needs to actually go out and see the houses and see the devastation and the pain and the suffering and the horrendous circumstances people have had to live in while launching this huge, I suppose, endeavour, financially one of the biggest in the state, in the history of the state, as a grant scheme. He needs to be here to explain the complexities of it and the nuances of it and changes that obviously the Mica homeowners want to see implemented, and I think that would be really, really important. We do know he has set up a strategic implementation group who are to report to him. We know he has put in place a homeowners liaison officer as well, but that is no substitute for him as the Minister for Housing, who should be here in Donegal to meet with the homeowners and be on the ground and see the pain and
why
the suffering.
Why do you think he hasn't then?
I can't answer that.
But why do you think, though? You're very intelligent. You must have formulated an opinion.
That's obviously his choice. And we know across the party in Fianna Fáil, our government ministers and other portfolios have visited Donegal. We've had Norma Foley, our Minister for Education, in Donegal. We've had Jack Chambers in Donegal. We've also had Stephen Donnelly in Donegal opening the recent primary care centre in Donegal town. So obviously within our party, there is that tradition and ritual and meeting our people and being with our communities. I cannot speak on behalf of the minister. I do believe he should be here. Now, our own minister, Charlie McConlogue, has tried to do his best in this area around communication. He has held public meetings across the constituency. He has held clinics. He has visited people's homes on a one-to-one basis. So he has tried to do his best along with our strong councillors and our councillor base as well.
Do you think he's been left isolated? Do you think the minister has been left isolated in trying to sell this himself?
It's a very difficult question to answer because I believe he should be here in Donegal answering those questions and responding to the Mica Action Group. I think it is his portfolio. As I say, it's one of the biggest endeavours in terms of history of the state in granting that funding. And he needs to be here to see what the problems and their issues are. Obviously, there are issues in the scheme and that it's not a fit for purpose currently. And we know it's a huge improvement on what was previously there from the previous Fine Gael government. So he does need to be here on the ground. I cannot speak on behalf of the minister, Greg. That is his remit.
Yeah, but your opinion is what I'm looking for.
My opinion is that he should be here. Yeah, exactly. I have said it. I've reiterated
it. I'll just ask, why do you think he hasn't come up?
Obviously.
Do you think it's because he realises that he'd be on a hiding to nothing, that this scheme is indefensible?
Regardless of what his opinions are, he has a duty to be here and a responsibility to be here, regardless of how difficult those conversations may be. And when you are a leader and you are in government, we have difficult decisions to make. We have very challenging conversations to have. That's what it means to be in government. As I say, within our party, across the board, other ministers and with their portfolios have visited the county, have reached out to communities. So I can't speak on behalf of the minister, but as a Donegal person, regardless of party, he should be here in the county on the ground listening to homeowners and actually seeing the devastation and the shocking horror that people have to live in, and it's heartbreaking. And across the party, Fianna Fáil members, CDC councillors, across the party at every level, we have been working on this and battling on this and talking about it, and it has been emotional, it has been challenging. And our own members, Greg, and our own councillors are in Mica houses and they are now going through this new scheme as well.
I'm very pleased you recognise that part of being in government is having difficult conversations, because I would agree with you 100% that sometimes you have to face up to difficult conversations. Doreen Sheridan Kennedy, what's your views?
My view is, I'm with Claudia on this. I do not understand why the minister hasn't appeared, but I just think he has an issue. He has an issue that I'm not sure he's communicating as well as he should be with the powers that be in relation to this whole housing crisis. And I do acknowledge the wonderful, work that's been done to date by all our representatives in the county and councillors likewise. I don't think all county council has moved very well on all of this, so credit where it's due, but it is time that the Minister of Housing was here.
Why do you think he hasn't come up to launch this scheme, explain this scheme, celebrate the scheme if he feels, because it's not that long ago, just a couple of short weeks ago, where we had a senior civil servant says that it is the belief that this scheme will deliver 100% redress for the majority of people. So if you've got your civil servant saying that, surely you want to back that up and come up and announce it, cut the ribbon, so to speak.
That's right, but neither Claudia nor myself can speak on behalf of that minister. He needs to speak on behalf of himself. But I just feel there's some length there that we're not getting through to him, that he doesn't realise. You know, this is massive. It's probably as big a thing as we will have to face in this county over these next number of 20, 30 years, and over the last 10, if not 20 years, with a lot of people. It is awful. It is huge. And I think Joe McHugh referred to this when he spoke about there has to be a timeline where people are able to get advice and get help, and that all the questions haven't been answered yet, and it's going to be a rocky road. Claudia's right in that department. You know, being in government is about big decisions and about things being made, and opposition don't like it, and people don't like it, and that's their job. But I don't know what it is with this Minister of Housing that he hasn't come, because all the party leaders have been down. All the councillors are actively involved in the Donegal County Council, as are the civil servants. So I would be very concerned.
Would you like to see a different Minister of Housing, Doreen?
Well, it'll not happen now within this government's time. You know, it's too short a time to be looking even at that. But I can't understand why there isn't pressure coming from people in government to get this minister down here. Has he visited the other areas which are affected by any sort of block work like this? That's what I would like to know.
Not that I'm aware of.
So he needs to be called to task. We're not afraid to call the Minister of Education to task. We weren't afraid to call Joe McHugh to task. We're not afraid to bring, you know, Charlie McConnell-Logue is facing up to meetings and going in there and really flying the flag. I think he's doing very well.
But the Minister of Housing wouldn't even take questions on it. I mean, we tried multiple occasions.
There has to be a balance.
Tried multiple occasions to sort of just get an interview with him on the scheme, and he was unavailable.
Yeah, I know, but so there has to be balance as well. You're very lucky, Greg, because, you know, you do have access to most of our councillors and most of our sitting TDs.
All of them except one.
Yeah, and for his own reasons too, Greg, you know,
that's fine.
She obviously thinks are right. So therefore, you know, you're lucky that within the media you're able to do that. But, you know, it's a serious job being a minister. So there's a lot of work involved. So we obviously aren't getting through to this Minister of Housing. And I'm not sure, but I do think we've enough people representing us in Dáil Éireann to insist that he gets here. And I think Claudia's right. We can't answer for him. He needs to answer for himself. Nor can Charlie McConnell-Logue, nor can Joe McHugh. He needs to answer for himself.
Michael White, what do you think?
That's his remit.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you know, or as I think I mentioned before, I'm one of the soldiers.
Yep,
so
yep.
My house, yeah. So we were approved under the first scheme, and we're like a bunch of other people. We're waiting to get moved over to the next scheme. So I don't really know what's happening next. So I'll put that to, so I would share the concerns of everybody in the Mica Action Group. And, you know, it's fairly close to the bone for us. Stepping back and pretending I wasn't involved directly in it, I absolutely understand the Mica Action Group's frustrations and what they're trying to press for. So some of the big points, again, just to recap in case people forget, they're saying about, you know, why aren't foundations included? Why is there a cap of 420,000 euro? What about pensioners and others who have no access to credit? What are they going to do to try and remediate their houses? Yeah. And why isn't downsizing? Those are four of the big points. There's more points that they're trying to get sorted out. So what they're really trying to do is to try and get the scheme changed. I guess what Mica Action Group is thinking is that they force the minister to come up here and answer questions. That'll help to drive getting the scheme changed. So I think that's a reasonable thing to drive for. What I also think, though, is you'd probably want to get the Minister for Finance up here. I suspect that a lot of this has been driven by the Department of Finance. They're nickel and diming this scheme to save 3 or 4%, you know, that thing, the cap at the 420.
Yeah, but in fairness, though, Michael, like, this is a multi-annual scheme. There's houses now with mica that probably won't even, if the scheme were 100%, probably wouldn't even get a look in for a decade, 15 years, who is to say? You know, because there are people that it's clear their house has defective concrete in it, but the house is livable and probably will be for some time, depending on its location, exposure to the elements and all that type of stuff. So there's no real argument really, is there? Especially when there's a clawback on some of this money as well. There's no real argument to sort of penny pinch on this. And you know,
I absolutely agree. I don't understand.
Like, I mean,
it's ridiculous.
There's no evidence that that's what's happening as such, because there's an initial 3. Whatever it is billion, but there's no suggestion that that's a cap. It's a rolling scheme that will go on and on and on, and they suggest they'll even track inflation.
Yeah, but they're capping things like they're not budging on the current cap. The reluctance to engage with the banks and insurance companies, to me, it seems that they're trying to do some kind of risk management in case the numbers involved in the scheme get bigger. But they're cutting their nose to spite their face, or whatever that phrase is. It's going to end up being resolved in court if they keep with this attitude. And back to your original question, yes, Darragh O'Brien should be up here.
Why do you think he's not come up to sort of celebrate this scheme?
It could be just a human thing. You know, it's just, he knows if he comes up here, it'll be raucous and angry. That's, you know, I think he may just...
Charlie McConnell Logue attended that meeting earlier this week and he was treated with respect. There was no abuse as far as I've heard no reports of it. We aren't animals up here. You know what I mean?
Well, no,
I'm
one of them. You know, yeah, absolutely. Like, if you're asking me why I think he's not turning up, it's maybe because he's concerned he'll get a bad reception. But he needs to turn up, as Doreen pointed out. He is the minister, and he needs to be answerable to the people up here. And the scheme needs to be fixed. So, like, overall, I think the Make Action Group are right to ask for this, and he should turn up and face the music.
Yeah, it is, and it is important, Claudia. We all have a role in it. Yeah, users. Me in the media,
mm-hmm.
You as a citizen, but also involved in your party, the Green Party, as coalition partners, as is Doreen Kennedy's party. You have to hold power to account.
Absolutely,
to get
yes.
the best for the people. That's what we're all trying to do here, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, there's no harm in that.
No.
And
we live in a democracy, and we have questions of the minister, and it is his remit, it is his portfolio, this is his scheme. He does need to be here to answer these questions on a very complex scheme. And I can't answer for him, but I know from a party level, from a membership level, to common level, to our CDC level, to our councillors, to our senators, and right up to our minister, we've all been pressing hard on this and talking not just with the Minister of Housing. Even when Jack Chambers visited the constituency in April, we sat around a table, the councillors, the CDC officer board, again, we pleaded, we had a very serious conversation, it was very emotive, it was challenging, and the emotion in the room from us as Donegal people pleading with our ministers, please do the right thing for homeowners in mica houses, including our own councillors and members, our own Fianna Fáil members that are going through this as well. So not only have we been pressing upon the Minister for Housing to come to Donegal and to look at this situation and see and look at the change that need to be made, but also we've looked at other government ministers around the table, and we try to press upon them the seriousness and the devastation and the anguish and really the suffering that people have gone through in Donegal. We absolutely, across the board, Craig, have a responsibility to shout louder and say, you need to be here and this needs to be fixed, and it's a human rights issue.
Yep.
Craig, if I could come in there, just, you know, we need to hold our 5 TDs responsible and ask them, have they spoken to the Minister of Housing, and why isn't he coming down here? We need to get the opposition in the same boat. We need the whole 5 and the senators and the councillors to be fighting for the minister to come here. End of story. Remember that Joe McHugh stepped aside from Fine Gael and voted against the government on the issue. And that was a huge move on his part. And one of the things he thought about was in relation to the foundations. Now, maybe you need to speak to Joe McHugh in relation to the response he got from the minister in relation to that. So, you know, there is a lot of good work going on out there by our TDs and they're trying their best, but they've got to keep at it. And I agree with the committee. They are right in asking for the minister to come here, definitely.
A few people already pointing out here, Michael, that you talk about how this could be, about limiting exposure to the state. But there, you know, a few different comments coming in on Facebook and elsewhere suggesting there's no evidence really that's, you know, when you look at the budget overrun in relation to the children's hospital and the inability to keep the likes of the you know, the RTE spending in check.
Yeah, I agree.
Or whatever, you know, like that. This isn't, if this is really absolutely the one where we're trying to get spending right, it's a bit of an outlier.
I think it's really wrong. And I do think that's what's happened, though. I think the Department of Finance are curtailing or trying to constrain this scheme. But you're absolutely right. They're blowing twice the budget in the National Children's Hospital. They're spending money like a drunken sailor, left, right, and centre, but not on this scheme. I'm not the Minister for Finance. I don't know why I'm not the Minister for Housing. And I do need, but it will get straightened out, Nick. It'll either get straightened out by the Minister for Housing changing the scheme a bit, or it'll get straightened out by that court case. Mm. One way or the other, this isn't going to, you know, these issues will be resolved, and they'll be resolved in homeowners' favour eventually. But it shouldn't take 10 or 20 years. It should be sorted out now in this current scheme. It wouldn't add that much to the total cost. It's very frustrating for everybody. The changes being required or being requested wouldn't significantly change the overall cost, but the Department of Housing are digging in their heels. I don't know why. And I suspect it's because the Department of Finance are telling them to. So,
yeah, Claude, do you disagree or agree or what?
To be honest, I don't understand where Michael is coming from. And a lot of people have said to me, and I have said this when we talk about finance, we all remember the banking bailout and what that is still costing citizens in this country. So if we're talking about the Department of Finance and costings, just look at what we have spent on a bank bailout, which we're going to our children and grandchildren.
This is a bank bailout because the banks refuse to engage. We're bailing out the banks again. We're restoring their assets. Apparently.
No, 100%. But my point is, if the Department of Finance is talking about costings, and to my knowledge, that's not what I understand the case to be. Mm. We have excessive debt and we have stood over a banking bailout. Obviously, this is a lot less in terms of costings. Why wouldn't we stand over this? Why wouldn't we do this scheme properly? Why wouldn't we look at every issue?
I'm not speaking on behalf of Michael. He's more than capable. But I presume when everything else doesn't make any sense, that's where you end up at. There's no evidence necessarily as such of it, but there is no other explanation. Why wouldn't you allow penalty-free downsizing? There's no reason why you wouldn't. Why would you risk building a house on concrete that's going to fail itself? There's no sense to that. Why would you leave older people or people in their 40s or 50s that can't get another 20, 30 years of financing? Why would you design a scheme that excludes them when people's lives are going to... So, I mean, no one would surely morally make that decision. So presumably, you have to arrive at the point that Department of Finances doesn't want to loosen the purse strings because there's no other logical explanation. Because you wouldn't treat people like this for any other reason.
I agree with everything you have said. It is barbaric to think that you would build a new house on defective foundations. That makes no sense. And all of the above, elderly people having to look for finance, very vulnerable people with special needs, the lack of housing that's available for them. We are in agreement with you as party members in Donegal, Greg. That's the first thing to say. Absolutely, I agree. This is why we need the Minister for Housing in Donegal. We want to hear his answers to these. We want to hear his responses. And again, it comes back to, if those PQ parliamentary questions do need to go to Michael McGrath to ask about finance, to ask about costings, to have both of them here in Donegal if that's what needs to happen. Mm. But I think, you know, this is the importance of having our Minister for Housing in Donegal to answer those questions. And from a common sense point of view, all of those issues need to be resolved. How on earth can this be a successful scheme if you're going to be building on defective foundations and then perhaps having to come back to those problems in 20, 30 years' time and looking at our most vulnerable in society, our elderly, being potentially homeless?
But yeah, but Doreen, maybe it's just simply it is just down to you can't defend the indefensible.
I think it's political. I think that it's political, and there's going to be a political move between now and the county council elections or the Doyle elections the next 2 years, and that the Minister of Housing then will make an announcement. So I'm calling that now. I think it's a political move.
Why would he put people through the ring?
I have no idea, but that I'm saying it now. I just think.
All right, we'll take a break. And Michael, I recognise when this issue comes up that you're personally affected by it, and it's, you know, that you're going through all the trauma. Everyone is, everyone who affected by it is, and I suppose it's difficult to try and detach yourself from that and comment on these issues. We all do, all of us, including myself. Yeah. None of us up here are unaffected. Okay, that is the voice there of Doreen Sheridan. Kennedy. We also have Michael White and Claudia Kennedy. All three government parties represented today in the show. It just throws up like that sometimes, and sometimes there's none represented. We try our best as we can, but anyway, it is what it is. But people are all clever enough to be able to comment, sometimes outside the party line.
From a Fianna Fáil perspective, it's a democratic party. We disagree, we battle, we have our conversations. That is our job as party members. We do not go into meetings and nod and agree with policy that we disagree with. And as Donegal Fianna Fáil members, we have been very vocal and very loud in support of the MICA Action Group at every meeting, from meeting various ministers to working inside the party to create change. So very much so. And it's, again, if you're in a position of leadership, you have to do the right thing morally and show responsibility and leadership.
Right, okay, going to take a quick break. Stay where you are. Right, just a brief one before we move on from this, and I think this is what hurts people as much. We had it was on this program when we were down in the Clanry Hotel. We spoke to, and the gentleman's name escapes my mind at the moment, and I don't want to misattribute it, but put it to him that, you know, one of the solutions here would be modular housing, that it would help alleviate some of the stress and what have you. And it was ruled out. It was, as modular housing is not going to be a solution to this problem. And then we have a situation in Sligo where there's just been a whole host of modular houses unveiled for migrants, and refugees. And no one for a second, I don't think anyway, that I've seen, thinks that's a bad thing to do. It's the right thing to do. That's the majority view out there, I would suggest. But then you get people up here who at the same time are pleased for them. I'll start with you, Claudia, but then wonder, well, it feels a wee bit like gaslighting too, to some extent. Why couldn't we do that for the people of Donegal as well? Do you know what I mean? As I say, this isn't to pitch the refugee crisis against the defective concrete crisis, but the policy difference between the two, it can't be ignored either, if that makes sense. So I hope you understand that it's a genuine question and not in any way trying to whip up any animosity or bad feeling.
No, and again, I keep talking about a common sense approach here, and I agree, modular housing for Donegal should be here. It obviously was proposed at many meetings. It would be a good solution for people, particularly if their house is being demolished. They have to do a rebuild. There's obviously no rental properties available in Donegal. The cost is extortionate. There could be special needs within a family. Obviously, if it's an elderly, vulnerable couple as well. So I keep coming back to this, and this is why the minister needs to be in Donegal. Why are we not advocating and getting these common sense approaches to deliver for people in Donegal that have been through such difficulty and hardship and suffering? And as you rightly pointed out, we've that modular housing unit within Sligo. So again, that is up to everybody within the political parties, the Green Party, Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, to go back to our public representatives, our TDs and senators, and put through parliamentary questions. Why is this not happening in Donegal? What is the problem? We need to keep asking those questions, Greg. We need to keep being vocal and loud, fighting on behalf of our friends and our neighbours and our family and our loved ones that are going through this. Nobody can defend that. Obviously, there is being political decisions made in Dublin without the herewithal of the suffering and the devastation that's happening within Donegal. Yeah. It's a disconnect.
Again, this is not having a go, but it is a fact. Like, this was agreed at cabinet, and we do have a Donegal minister sitting at that cabinet table. Like, if there was ever a time for a dissenting voice, surely it was when this was being voted through.
Absolutely, and that is why we as Fianna Fáil members have spoken with many ministers as they have visited Donegal. Charlie is one voice at that table. So any minister that has visited Donegal in any capacity, our councillors, our CDC, our members of the party constantly bring up MICA and housing and saying, what are you going to do when you vote with government as a minister, or, you know, in your capacity as a leadership, what changes are you going to bring about? So within the membership of the party, we have been fighting, Greg, and I mean that wholeheartedly.
You've mentioned that enough. Number of times, and I get that, but Michael, I would love the opportunity to just ask that simple question as to why, you know, modular housing, quite rightly seen as a solution to a housing crisis for refugees, but is being completely ruled out for the people of Donegal. Again, it's a Can you imagine if that were to be announced? Say, look at right, the scheme, we can revise the scheme as we go. It's not perfect, but you know what we're going to do in the meantime? We're going to provide this type of housing in Letterkenny, let's say, and also in a central position in Inishowen, because we recognise the stress that families are under living in these homes. Again, that would, you know, people would go, right, okay, that's a positive thing. Let's see where we go from here. But it doesn't make any sense as to why it's a solution in Sligo, but not the next county up.
Yeah, I agree. After the Ukraine war kicked off, that was treated as a crisis that required urgent and immediate action, and that action happened very fast. With the MICA, it hasn't been urgent. Everything's been slow walked. So something that was possible last year to deal with 70,000 refugees, nothing seems to be possible to deal with 7,000 families here that need to get action immediately. I want to agree with Doreen. She was saying it's political. Political pressure is what changes this. Also, the action of the MICA Action Group. We have a much better scheme than we had. We need to recognise there's $3 billion being earmarked for this. That's because of the MICA Action Group's work until now. And credit to Joe McHugh and the rest of them. The next step now is the local elections are coming up next year. This is when Doreen's absolutely right. If you want to get stuff happening, you've got a window of opportunity now for 10 months.
Yeah, but, every but politician with all due respect, and I mean this with respect, say for instance now Claudia was running for election, it's to some extent speaking out of both sides of your mouth, and I mean that with absolute respect, Claudia, because you could say here in Donegal we need to do this, and if you elect me to Fianna Fáil, I'll make sure from within we will fight for this issue and change this. I mean, you're sitting here openly criticizing. My point is yeah, but when it comes down to local elections, we'll have. Yeah, but what I'm saying is you can campaign as opposition or as a government rep in the local elections upcoming and still get elected and nothing to be achieved.
No, my understanding of the point Doreen is making is that something would have to be delivered now, this side of the election. The parties will want to do that in order to encourage their candidates to be elected. So there's a chance between now and, say, March of next year. The pressure will be best applied right now because Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and the Greens we'll be trying to make sure something does get delivered here in order to improve the chances of people getting elected. That's what I think.
Right, okay. Meant. Okay, do you want a last word on this, Doreen, or should we move on to our last topic?
Yeah, go on to the last topic, but I'm with Michael on that. You know, this is the time to put the pressure on, and this is the time that we need to be in our political parties and be actively involved, and also get the minister down here, end of story, just get him down.
Staying with you, Doreen, would you agree we have a serious problem with policing in this country, brought into focus obviously with recent incidents in Dublin, concerns in Donegal over not enough cover, there are retention issues and recruitment targets aren't being met, now the GRA is to table to ballot its members on a vote of no confidence in the Garda Commissioner. Is his position with everything that's going on tenable? Because it seems that if you go back 5-6 years ago, the Garda Síochána Síochána was a completely different thing in terms of morale within the force, but even public's attitudes towards it. It seems to have regressed quite a lot under Drew Harris's tenure. Are you concerned about it?
Yeah, well, I'll come to you on that first, because that's the question you put to us in relation to his leadership, and that the union are within the guards are questioning his leadership on that. I think they're right to question it. I think within any union, if you don't question, you're not going to get any answers. So they're right to floor that and to have the conversation. They're as entitled as anyone else to have an opinion in relation to their leadership. And I commend what they're doing. I'm not sure enough time is given to training our Gardaí in this country. I like what Leo Varadkar you're saying in relation to lifting the age limit, because I do think we have a core group of people over 35 who would be wise because of their years and would add hugely. There are issues on the ground. There are issues on the ground in Letterkenny in relation to the Gardaí on the street. There are issues, but cameras and various things being done by our councillors are proving to be
cameras
good,
aren't being monitored though. Sure. You see, like with respect, the cameras aren't going to be monitored. I can't understand what. I mean, yeah, great, more cameras.
No, sorry, cameras are monitored. I'm trying to time myself.
No, the cameras aren't. I know the CCTV cameras in.
I called to the Gardaí about an incident on the street, and the guard was able to tell me I can see where these people are. We are monitoring it. We will be there. So well, sorry, Greg.
In that instance,
they are being monitored.
Right. Okay.
So
well,
I think you're just being a bit. No. And I'm not sure that Drew Harris was the best choice. There was a Canadian man maybe that might have been a better choice as regards to leadership in relation to the guards. But I think too that the guards have to work themselves within their PR with the public and with our young people. So there are a lot of issues.
All right,
there that need
Claudia,
to be
do you have faith in the Garda Commissioner?
Firstly, I think the GRA is 100% correct to go forward with this ballot. We cannot preempt the result of the ballot. That's really important to say. And we know that the ballot is to take place in the next 6 weeks, and they'll then have their special delegate conference in early November. And perhaps in that intervening time, there may be dialogue and there may be a change of mindset. Right. We know there's big problems with retention. We know this year we have 71 resignations, which is very, very serious. It's a very demanding job, and these very brave men and women put their lives on the line every single day. We can see the rise in assaults in Gardaí in their daily jobs. We can see this year our target of 1,000 recruits will not be met. I think it'll be up to 800. I believe today we have 85 guards coming out of Templemore. So there's a lot of work to be done. And we need to look at the well-being of those men and women. And they do such an important job in keeping our society safe and keeping that social fabric of society together. So I think it's a very important process for them. And a lot may change. You know, there could be dialogue, there could be conversation in the next 6 weeks. And it was interesting too this morning to see the press release from our Justice Minister about the 10 million that is being advocated for Dublin. And that's actually going to extra police
That's the problem. It's reactionary. As soon as it leads the news, then you get guards there. We saw the same thing on the Monaghan border. You know, we need proactive policing. So Donegal is going has no chance now of getting any extra resources because Drew Harris has watched the news and said, right, we need to put money in here and we need to put extra guards in here. And that seems to be the policy of policing.
Well, in terms of Donegal, Greg, we're actually looking at a very serious issue. You would have reported on this during the week of where they're actually now reviewing the Garda divisions within Donegal.
Of course, well, that's part of it.
Obviously.
I want to bring Michael in, sorry, because we only have another minute and a half. You know, I mean, I can't... Like, it was inevitable. I said it on this program the start of last week. We're going to have a big announcement for Dublin because it's all over the news. And yet we're up here with serious issues and very little seems to be. Michael, your last couple of minutes there, a minute and a half.
Yeah, well, there's one thing. You were talking about whether morale has got worse. But if you remember, when Drew Harris came in, it was after the Garda whistleblower scandal, Maurice McCabe and all that. So morale was down in the dumps back then. Initially, when he came in, people thought it was better, but it looks he's lost the confidence, it appears, of a lot of his members. So if that vote of no confidence goes ahead, it's hard to see how he could continue in that role. I also agree, Greg, it seems to be very reactive. We've had a week where Dublin is being cited on the front of Sky News and CNN and New York Times, the announcement that the US Embassy is saying it's not a safe place to walk around. No, that's not a good look for Ireland. But as you say, resources seem to be allocated in a kind of reactive way. So we need to get that straightened out.
All right. Michael, thank you so much for your time. I don't have any more time left, unfortunately, Doreen. Michael White, Chair of the Green Party in Donegal, thank you so much for your time. I really do appreciate it. Doreen, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time and for joining us on the show this morning.
You're welcome, Greg.
Take care of yourself. Have a lovely weekend. And last but not least, of course, we have in studio with us Claudia Kennedy, who's teacher, of course, and Fianna Fáil Deputy Chair of Fianna Fáil CDC. Thank you so much for joining us, Claudia.
Thank you, Greg. It's good to be here. Thank you.
No, it's great to have you on the programme and to be able to tease these things out and have a conversation. All right, we'll be back with more after we take a break for the news and obituary notices.